welcome to our Biz Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Cuthbert, Creative Director at Baker Creative. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please hit subscribe so you can get notified when new content comes out. Please share this with anyone who could be inspired by it.
Hi, Burrell. I'm so excited to have you on our podcast. Thank you so much for coming up. And I was wondering if you want to share with everyone your background.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And thank you for having me. It's really exciting to kind of be, sitting beside another amazing woman. There's not enough of us, and we need to definitely promote them more. So thank you for this opportunity. But a quick background on me. I'm just a girl from New Jersey. I went to Rutgers University, and I wanted to pursue something in communications. I wound up in colorectal cancer focus groups via PR for healthcare and really realized at the moment that this was not for me. Had to come to Jesus, and I said, you know, let me figure out what I want to do and what makes me happy. And the astounding epiphany was food and drink. And you wonder, what can I do with that? Fast forward a couple months, I wound up working for a company called the O Group that serviced Moët Hennessy. So I'm sure if people are familiar with the spirits industry, that is the biggest supplier, especially for premium spirits. And my career truly began there. I know I'm really starting from the ground up, but I think the story is helpful for some of the listeners that, you can start really at a place where you're trying to figure out what you want to do, really identifying what you want to do and just kind of going for it and taking that risk and not following the path that everybody lays out for you. And that was really how this began. I worked my way through the company, wound up doing global marketing for Belvedere Vodka, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are very familiar with. And it was an amazing journey. One fun fact is I've never passed algebra. So getting into that role was a huge milestone for me, knowing that my math skills were always subpar, but I'm killer at budgets. Believe that. How that worked out, who knows? Fast forward, I've had jobs where I've worked for very entrepreneurial families. And that was when I was with the Sarais group. I've worked with celebrities. I had the ability to work with Randy Gerber, both on Caliche Ramen Casamigos, which was very exciting. I've been out on my own. Again, kind of the journey never ends. You're always doing your own thing or trying to figure out how you're going to do your own thing. And then I realized I wanted to actually go back to a big company. I loved doing things on my own and consulting, but at the same time, there was a loneliness factor, at least for me, that I felt. And I wanted to go back to a corporation, wound back up at Moët Hennessy, on the Hennessy brand. And it was a very exciting and challenging time in my life because Hennessy is the biggest brand in the portfolio and it requires a lot. And as a woman, as a new mother, there were a lot of things I even needed to learn through that process. Fast forward from that, I'm now the CMO at Salvaray Rum. It happens to be a beautiful single estate Panamanian rum. And our biggest megaphone for the brand is one of our owners, Bruno Mars. So I know that was probably a convoluted journey on the way to get to this point. But I think the reason I share that is, you assume you're going to be somewhere, let life take you. Obviously be in the driver's seat, you're behind the steering wheel, but you're going to take detours and it's not always what you expect, but you're going to wind up where you need to be. And I really feel proud and confident that the role that I'm in now was the role that I was meant to be in. And it took all the other ones that I mentioned to get here.
It's absolutely true. It's almost like you don't realize the path you're on till you look backwards. And then you're like, holy crap, if I wouldn't have had this, then I couldn't have got this. And what just happened?
Exactly. And how did that happen so quickly? Because it was years and years of this, but it feels like it was a blink of an eye.
Yeah, it's totally true. And then people are like, oh, they just don't really understand how long you've been doing it.
Yes. They think it's an overnight success. And for everybody out there, there is no such thing as an overnight success. There's blood, sweat, and tears that go behind it all. You just don't see that. You don't see the training moments, the training montage, as yeah. we all have them. Michelle, I know you do too.
It's so true. And I think sometimes, you know, when clients come to us, they think, oh, there's a magic bullet. And I'm like, but there's not. We're talking, we're selling to people, even if you're B2B or B2C, it's still a people business. It doesn't change.
Yep.
And I think people get caught up in all the tools and the metrics and the Marcom, this and that. And we have all that, but it's not the magic bullet. It's how you put it together and how your approach and the creative, and you know all this. I mean, it's how you engage with people and understand folks.
Exactly.
Where do you belong in their lives and what's your value that you bring to them beyond price?
Absolutely. And I think it's also that level of emotional connection that brand gives to your consumers that is so important. And more than ever, you know, consumers can see through brands. Consumers can see what they're doing behind the scenes, what they're simply paying for, not earning.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big shift. I think in general, there's a shift, but I think the younger generations, I mean, for a marketer, it's fascinating to see the differences in consumption behavior, the way they purchase, at the level of how they purchase too, how much money they're going to put against certain things that they're very passionate about and how loyal they will be. So I'm sure you feel the same way when you look at certain brands that are trying to market to so many generations. It's actually like a marketing plan for each generation when you break it down. And within the generations, there's sub versions of how you're looking at this, whether it's, you know, gender, whether it's, you know, geography, whether it's psychographics. It can get so deep.
Yes.
It really is amazing.
It's totally true. And we believe the same thing, is if you don't really understand on a psychographic level, a cultural level, you don't know where you belong. And I think when you approach it just based on, I just want to make a bunch of money, then you have to understand that that's the relationship you're going to get.
Totally. Oh God, that was so well put. So well put, because so many people make those mistakes.
Yes.
They go into the business, they're like, I just want to make it rich. How do I do that?
Yeah.
Like you said, there is no magic bullet. It is work. And you have to think strategically about how you're going to get there, because there's no one size fits all plan.
Yes.
For anyone. It's unique to your brand. Hence why every brand has that unique proposition.
It does. And I think when they try to copy each other, it's like, but that's really doesn't belong to you. It doesn't feel authentic. And people see through that. It just doesn't fit. You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, that might be a trend for you, but that might be a positioning for someone else.
Exactly.
And that's what's right for them. And it might not be right for someone else. And sometimes it's hard when you get brands that are like, I'm lost. I don't understand. You know, I can't get customers and it's no traction. There's a misalignment somewhere.
You know, it's funny. A really good friend of mine once said, when you look at brands, think of them as individuals. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. And it helps break that down. Like when you're trying to understand why brands do what they do, because sometimes individuals are like, oh, that person's doing, you know, this, maybe I can be successful and do it. And then there are other brands that are very independent and very like, this is my style. This is how I'm going to show up. I cannot be replicated. And those are the individuals and the brands that truly become the success stories and memorable because they're owning themselves.
So, you know, when you've been in the business for a while, is there a mentor or like a top lesson you learned from someone that was like, you know what, I still remember that today?
Funny that the lesson that I carry through my life is actually from my father. And it's keep your word. It's so simple, but keep your word, because nobody, no amount of money, no level of status, nothing can take that away. And if people can truly trust you to know that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to deliver, that's worth its weight in gold. And I'll tell you, it served me so well for my 16-year career. And it's also served me personally with friendships. Mm-hmm. It's so simple, but people don't realize, like, if you say you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
It's not hard, but you know, in a world where trust is an all-time low with businesses and brands and even the workplace, it seems like it got a little convoluted. It got a little lost.
I think sometimes people were trying to over-deliver, and that's when you also need to just check yourself for a second.
Yeah.
What am I saying? And it's good to actually have those checkpoints. Like if I say I'm going to do this, one, can I actually do this?
Yes.
Or am I blowing smoke? You know? And it keeps you, right? It keeps you accountable.
Yeah.
For what you say you're going to do. Again, I'm speaking for myself here, and this is advice that I would offer other people. It's not always easy, right? Like, of course, like things are going to happen. Like I want to be able to tell my son that I'll be there for him forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to die one day. I mean, like, not to sound morbid, but you know, there are things, right? But like the meaning is there. You will do what you can while you have the power to do it.
True. That's true. And I think that even translates, like you even alluded to kids and family and raising and I really see them as an extension of the team. And if you don't give them a why, that's the big part of it. Whether you have a staff or whether you have a client or whether you're trying to talk to your child, if they don't know the why, they just don't really understand. They just don't get it. And you don't blame them because they're like, you know, four.
And, you know, you said it best too. It's so interesting. Like, and motherhood has taught me so much about leading teams, because if you can communicate and get through to a four-year-old, you can get through to anyone. You kind of like almost work backwards a little bit, because you have to be so simplistic in your language. You have to be very clear for them to understand. True. But to your point, you have to allow them to understand, why do you need to do this? Why am I asking you? Because that's the source of everything that's happening. Yes. Same thing for your employees or your team. If they don't know what the North Star is, the why are we doing this?
True.
Everything else really becomes meaningless because there is no direction.
True. And the thing is, it's very much translates over to business. If you make something too complicated, if you make people go through hoops, if you don't understand your message, they don't understand what you represent, and you make it complicated and not simple in a friendly way, in a way that's easy for them to digest, regardless wherever they're at and the channels that they're at, they're not going to jump on board.
Absolutely not. You need to make sure things are approachable, but then they're simplified to be able to understand it. But at the same time, there is like an emotional piece to it, right? There's like a compassion or empathetic piece to it.
Yes.
Like that is a very well-rounded, or at least in my mind, that is a very well-rounded approach that will allow you to be successful professionally and personally.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And you know, you got me thinking about the empathy side. I think brands need to have that.
They do.
Because so much is happening in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And with COVID, right? Like 2 years. Everybody suffered.
Yeah.
Every single person has a story. There needs to be empathy there.
Yeah.
And companies need to realize that and how they treat their employees.
Yes.
I mean, one personal thing that I went through, maternity. And as a woman, companies, the rules or, you know, there is no maternity policy. I mean, that's so hard.
Yeah.
And it's just something as simple as understanding what your employees' needs are, because the truth is, if your employees feel like they're valued and they feel like the company is looking out for them, they're going to work so much harder.
Yes.
So much harder, because they feel cared for. I know that if I feel cared for and valued, I certainly will put in the time and the effort to do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it doesn't take a big thing. It's just, it's like paying attention, doing something that someone would like, that it might not be the thing you're into, but that's not what it's about. I mean, just having them feel like they matter.
Yes, exactly. Like one personal thing that I do with my teams, I mean, of course you need to know everybody's name. I hate when a boss walks in and doesn't know your name. It's like, oh my God, we've started off on such a wrong foot.
Yeah.
Or they mispronounce your name.
Yeah.
And then like know something personal about them, because that actually gives you the human connection. Mm-hmm. And that actually makes you care.
Yeah.
Like the work stuff, like maybe there's not as much emotion in it, but once you get a little personal, it doesn't need to be something like my mother died or, you know, something like tragic, but it could be, yes, I have a son and his name is, or I actually, a hobby on the side is I love karate, like anything.
Yeah.
But it actually is something that can create a more meaningful relationship.
I totally agree. And my best clients, usually we have very deep relationships, you know, like I know about their families and I've met them, and you know what I mean? It's just, and I love that, because then you really get to know someone and have a relationship with them I mean, it's fine. We'll do the small projects, but that's, you know, you're in business because you want to help people, for me.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And Michelle, that's why your business is so successful too, because you radiate that with people and you bring people into your world and allow them, you know?
I appreciate
it. No, but it's something that's very admirable.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to be crying through this whole thing. So what do you think would surprise people about you as at work, when you're at work?
At work. So I think the personal side is that do I want to share this? I'm either really A-type, and I need to be involved and, like, you know, controlling with things sometimes, at least in my life. And I'm a very big planner.
Yes.
Or I can actually be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And just like veg and do nothing. Like, there's no middle ground for me. Mm-hmm. And most people only see that, like, got to get this done, got to plan, got to be on time, got to do this, check, 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 you know?
Yeah, right.
Very few people see the, I just want a Netflix binge and eat like a bowl of ramen or something. Like,
I hear you. No, I totally hear you. Sometimes,
and I think people would be surprised to see that side.
Well, I mean, I think there's so much on your plate and you're responsible for so much, and you have to have everything just be like this well-oiled machine at work and at home.
Yeah.
It's hard not to be a planner. You're kind of forced to be a planner.
Good point.
You know, and I think that's a great attribute, because when you have someone that kind of knows what they want and the direction they want, it's a lot easier to work with brands like that, you know?
No, that's very true.
Kind of, you can help support that when someone's like, I don't really know what I want. And that's okay too, but it's a lot of different heavy lifting and a different, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to help them walk through that.
I think another thing just to share with the listeners is your shit is not always together. Excuse the language. Like, everybody looks at people and they're like, oh my God, you know, they look so perfect. You know, they have a great job. They have a lovely little family. You know, they're going out to like these events or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. It's called Instagram. We filter that shit. And there's usually chaos in the background. There's usually a crying child. There's usually like Zoom calls back to back. There's post-its all over your desk. You know, you appear in a picture looking all like, you know, perfect, and no, you don't wake up that way. You don't go to bed that way.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of women get overwhelmed, and I'm sure other dads too, but when you're at work and I had a meeting and we were had a Zoom call and it was a bunch of women and we were like, yeah, we're sharing stuff. It's cool. And then my kid just would not, and I love her, don't get me wrong, but who's on the phone? What's going on? So I'm like, okay, you gotta leave mommy alone for 5 minutes. I'm in a call. Well, who are you talking to? She's like trying to put her eye like in it, you know, trying to push the buttons. And I'm like, okay. So I run around the whole house and it's like, it looks like the Apple commercial was like, and you're so embarrassed and you can't play that off as like being like Joanna cool, you know, you're just like, hey. And you knew it looked like, oh God, they just had a tour of my house.
This is the real me.
And it wasn't that I wasn't engaged, but it's just like, she's chasing me around. So I trapped myself in the bathroom thinking, okay, how can I have it? So like, you know, not showing the toilet. I maybe could show the wall.
I'm so glad you shared that. I'm so glad. Because in COVID, I was living in an apartment. Oh. And my son was home and he was a year and a half. Oh. I would hide in the closet and take calls. So like on the other end, you're having these professional calls, but nobody knows you're in a closet, or to your point, nobody knows you're in the bathroom.
Because then they're like knocking on the door, like,
yes.
Where's my husband? Where are you?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You hear him going, come on now. And I'm like, I don't want to go. You're like, seriously.
Totally.
But, so, you know, of course, everyone on the call, thank God, have had kids. So they're just like, totally get it. And they were like, that was so real. We're so cool with that. But I mean, it is what it is. You can't, you know,
you can't hide it. You can't be embarrassed of it. It's life. Like, it's just life happening. You brought up a good point about the husband when you mentioned that. And like any partner, I've got to say that I couldn't do this out without my partner. I couldn't do this without my husband, Keith, because it's hard. It's so hard sometimes raising a kid. Both people are working.
Yes.
I don't have family, you know, that's, I mean, I have family, but they're just not, they don't have the ability to help.
Yes.
And you know, you take on this other huge responsibility right now. My son is going to be four, but before him, it really was work. You know, work is my passion. I love it so much. It was like constantly working.
Yes.
And then this little human shows up.
Yes.
And you are like, irregardless of how I feel, you require time.
Yes.
And you're going to require quite a bit of it, especially in the younger years.
Yeah.
And with COVID, that threw everything out of sorts.
Oh God. Yes. Oh yes. And poop doesn't clean itself. It happens. No. It stays. Right. And you're like, and then, you know, and you're just like, oh, I went to the bathroom by myself. You're like, yes. And then you're going, you're like, how did a whole roll of toilet paper disappear? Like it was a whole roll.
Oh my God. You know, Michelle, I'm feeling really comfortable and I hope your viewers don't mind this story, but I remember I was on a call and it was like a serious budget call during COVID. And my son was running around the house and he pulls his diaper down and he goes, I gotta go poopy. And he like pooped, horrifying, on the floor. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like turning the computer and I'm like waving the hand like, stop it. Like, what are you doing? And my husband was on a call. It was just one of those moments that you just,
I know, right?
You know, let the universe just, so, universe take it away.
Yeah, like it's so true because you're like, I hate it because you're just like, well, I mean, I don't mean I hate it. It's just so frustrating, you know? And you're just like, please don't touch the phone. Don't touch the iPad. Really good. Let it go. They're like, but I want to play. No, not right now.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Do you feel this way that like ever since you became a mom, that kind of like need to be like showing up and like looking so put together and whatnot. I'm not saying that it's gone because I still want to look presentable, but I'm not so hard on myself anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like I've become more human because I know stuff like that is going to happen.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to trip up and do silly things or my son's going to do something silly. Like, and it's okay. Like I think I've become more self-assured of myself.
True.
And who I actually am now.
Yeah.
And I'm not so embarrassed about like the little things or it doesn't bother me as much as they used to.
Yeah, that's totally true. Because like, sometimes you just have to make everything a game. Like we're going to run to the store. And since she loves those puppy pals, we're going on a mission, man. And we sing at the store and people were laughing and I didn't even know it. And I turned around and I'm like, what? Oh, I don't care. But I got her through the store, you know,
Get
the milk, get in, get out. Cause you know, kids are like, I want this for me. And I'm like, no, okay, this is the deal. Not every time you go to the store, you're going to get something. Okay. That's just the way it is. Cause I want to go store something for me. Well, we do understand that's awesome. we can't afford that.
You're going to make us broke if we keep on doing this.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, and I think that's good to teach them the expectations up front. I always try to do like, I call it upfront contract. Okay. This is the deal before we go in. Does it last?
Hey, but you're setting the expectations. You're setting the expectations.
That's so true. And I do that with clients and I do it with my team. Because I think I would want to know, right? What's the next steps? What do I expect? What's the timeline? What's the budget? Are we on budget? You know, and with the team, you know, where are we going with this? What's the direction? And I try to be pretty open, like, you know, get a lot of feedback from the team because I want them to feel like they're part of the process, even though I am directing it and I'm pretty clear on what we're doing. It's important for them to feel like they're part of it rather than spoken at. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what retains talent, right? On your team, that they feel like they're contributing and they really are a part of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So then being at home, what is the biggest challenge do you think you have trying to do that balance?
Every day is different. And I think that's the challenge. Me being the planner, I wish I could just have a set day that every hour, right? Like you wake up, you do this, right? And it just follows that because like that alleviates so much stress, but it never works out that way.
Yeah.
I think the challenge was learning to be flexible. Just you got to be flexible with your day. You can't be so rigid.
Yeah.
Especially if he's home or he's sick. Like then your day kind of explodes in certain ways, right? Because you got to manage them as well.
Yeah.
What has helped tremendously is the Salvare team is so supportive of personal, you know, situations, of motherhood, and of just knowing that their employees are human beings, that work is not the only thing that we're doing. We know what our deadlines are. We know what our projects are. We will get it done.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we're allowed to have a life outside.
Yes.
That has helped tremendously. I think people that aren't in that situation, it is much harder because you don't have the ability to be as flexible as you can.
Yes.
Because there is that external force happening. I mean, and then honestly, the other thing is there's a fridge not far from me. And I'm not saying like I'm a crazy, but like I snack so much more because it's not as scheduled. I'm like, you know what? I know there's something in there. So let me just run down and grab a snack.
Yeah.
I need to be a little more disciplined in that way.
Yeah. It is kind of hard not to get sucked into that.
Totally.
Yeah. No, totally. I'm with you. So, you know, what kind of adversities do you think you've had being before you had your kids versus now?
I think before I had my kids, it was being a woman in a very male dominated industry in general. Mm-hmm. And I know that the industry is certainly turning a corner with that, but it will take some more time. And, you know, I was always in a room full of men, and there's nothing wrong with men at all. But I just think there should be more women representation, especially knowing that your consumers are women. The majority are women. That certainly like helps to have a woman's voice.
Yeah.
I also think like there were times, and like, this is when I first started, you know, there weren't as many rules in place in terms of etiquette and how you behave around women. And that could be very, very uncomfortable sometimes, you know, like some comments that might be made, and it wasn't meant to be hurtful, but like people might've thought it was okay. Well, it's not okay. Don't make those comments. Mm-hmm. And as a young woman growing up in that, you're like, is that right? Is that wrong? Like, is that not acceptable? Because you don't have your feet underneath you yet. You know, you don't necessarily have all of that confidence yet. And you're like, should I feel insulted or should I just kind of let that go?
Yeah.
As you get older, you're like, no, I'm not letting that go. Like, that is disrespectful.
That's so true. I totally agree with you.
And then the mom side of it, I think the hardest stuff is making sure that my job knows I love it and making sure my son knows I love him equally, because I love them both. I really do. I love the career that I've earned. I love the people that I work with. I look at them like family, and that's important to me wherever I go. I truly make lasting friendships from each role.
Yes.
And that matters to me.
Right.
Building teams matter to me, and I care about them as an extended family, but I also care about my son so much. And of course my husband, but balancing that, right? Like giving the love in the right way to both. And that's hard. Every day it changes.
So then how do you not get stressed out when you're trying to, you know, hold on to this basket and another basket, you know, like tasks and duties and responsibilities and, you know what I mean? How do you not feel just overwhelmed?
I mean, I've got to say, I've gotten much more into meditation. I've always been into it, mm-hmm. but after becoming a mother, it's helped me a lot more focus, because adding a child into the mix, it was like my mind literally felt frenzied all the time and I couldn't focus. And it brings me back some little bit of breath work. Like, what needs to be done now? What is literally right in front of you that you need to do now, and start there instead of getting overwhelmed with like just the list that will always keep going and going and going.
Of course. Yeah.
And I know like this probably sounds like a crazy ambition. I used to do karate. And I was a black belt back in my heyday.
Ooh.
I really want to go back to it. I want to, because I know that the time spent there, whether it's one or two times a week, that helped me from a physical level, but it also helped me so much emotionally.
Yes.
And that combo, along with like the meditation, I feel like that's like the perfect storm for me to really just keep me together, focus, and know like what I need to do without getting too frenzied.
And I think that's a very focused kind of practice as well.
Very, very. And I felt so good doing it. Granted, I was many, many years younger and my body's not going to be able to handle some of the things, but again, the mental discipline.
Yeah.
I feel like I've lost some of that because I've allowed life. And listen, as you get older, life gets in the way. Things happen that you never would have imagined 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
It's so true.
But you just need to center yourself. You need to ground yourself and you need to be present, because I'm also the type of person, and I'll fully admit, I'll live in the past with things. Oh, I should have done that. Oh my God. I'll live in the future. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I'm a control person. Now I have control over now, and I need to remind myself, and through kind of breath work and meditation, it's think of now. You can make a ton of changes now. What are they? And all of those are stepping stones to the bigger things that you want to do. And all of those can also rectify what you wish you had known in the past by never repeating them again.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's so wonderful. Thank you. And I think a lot of people can get a lot out of that, because it's so true. Now is what matters. I mean, you can't really fix what's happened in the past. What's done is done. Mm-hmm. The bell has been rung. I mean, for the most, I mean, yes, you can maybe do if you piss somebody off or try to make amends, but it's already happened. And in the future, you can worry yourself into a frenzy where you don't sleep and it's not worth it. So yes, the focus thing, I think, has really interrupted a lot of things with COVID. And then, you know, the rumors, well, just war and all kinds of different things. I mean,
everything.
Control. I mean, it's like, what the hell?
And it's hard, Michelle. I'm sure you feel this way too. Like the external things that are happening. You mentioned like the war that's happening now, like seeing the pictures, and it's heartbreaking. Like I literally, like my heart hurts.
Yeah.
And then you see like the economics of all this, like gas prices. And you're like, what? That's insane. You think of like people that couldn't afford gas to begin with. And now, like how it could hinder families and people. It's just horrible. And it just feels like when you watch the news, and I know they're reporting on things that are happening in the world, but it's like, is there anything good happening?
I know.
And that's where your family, that's where your close friends, like that's where that comes in to remind you, like people are good. There's still so much good happening.
There is. And I think the isolation, I agree with you, being isolated because of COVID.
Yep.
I don't know what to believe about the mask thing. And now things are starting to chill out. But then there's still the residue of like, what about all that misinformation that just adds distrust? And you don't know what to believe. And what almost like you don't blame, but people pick their own channel and their own narratives because they're trying to fill in the gaps, which means psychologically they're going to make sense. It's the why. Yeah. How did this happen? Why did it happen? What's going on? How do I function in this world? How do we reconnect again? And it feels safe. It's that safe.
Yes. Yep. That was so well put. Do you think too, I mean, I know that as I've gotten older, it's like, I listen to the news and I'm like, okay, like that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And lately I want to be more critical in my thinking with it, because again, there's sides to every story, every story. And I don't always agree with things. And there's other things that I do agree with, but I want to hear all of the sides so I can really formulate my opinion, not what somebody else is telling me.
Yes.
And I think it allows you to understand things in a more holistic way. And maybe you can get to the why when you hear everything, or at least what your why potentially is, why it could be happening.
And I think that's what's a little bit concerning about so many people getting their news from social media and in such a small tweet, or the Facebook that with all the, you know, propaganda and the misinformation, it just builds a lot of distrust across everything, and people don't know what to believe. And then you're doing a disservice when there's health issues and when there is something like a pandemic and people don't know what to believe. And that's sometimes driven by political agendas. And it's really kind of sad, because who's the loser here? The customer, the public, because they don't do whatever they're talking about. They don't know what to believe. And then how do you protect your kids from not getting freaked out?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a whole other thing,
right? War on TV. And then you've got the whole, why do I have to wear a mask? And this is scary, mommy. And is everybody sick? And why are we staying home? And that's like a whole other level of a different kind of anxiety.
Oh my God. And seeing your kids go through that too, it's so hard, because as parents, you want to protect and make sure your kids are okay.
Yeah.
And they're going through this in their own way.
Yeah.
But it is anxiety. And these poor children, oh my God, like just the being at home, not being able to focus, like, and even just the level of nerves with wearing a mask, like the fear of, oh my God, something could actually like really hurt me. Yeah. To a young child.
Yeah.
Processing that.
Yeah.
To an adult, it's hard enough.
I know. And then just like, well, why do I have to sit on the plane with the mask the whole time? Is something wrong, mommy? Why do I have to do that? And then you're scaring them on something that should have been a fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, hey, you know, we're going to go to the playground. And if there's a lot of kids, do I need to be worried that, you know, you just, it crosses your mind because you can't get vaccinated when you're four. You can't. And when you could, you'd be like, eh. But, you know, you don't want to scare them. You want them to still experience other kids and you want them to have that exposure so they have social skills and all that and have them have fun. But you don't know these kids. I mean, were they sick yesterday throwing up?
That's when you know, like people would ask, like, when did you know you were an adult? And a lot of times I still don't necessarily feel like an adult, but the adult moments are when you have to have those hard conversations.
Yes.
Or when you have to think about those uncomfortable topics.
Yes.
And you have to like face them, not run away from them, but you have to say, how am I going to approach this?
Yeah.
How am I going to help mitigate this for my child or my family or whatever?
Yes.
That's when you adult.
Yeah. And how do I explain this in a way that can be, I can get what I need to get done, like
yes,
at that time and not freak them out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. It's hard. And then that could even translate to even taking care of parents if they're elderly and elder care. It's not just the young. I mean, I had to take care of my dad when he was passing, and there's no book for that. There just isn't.
Oh, Michelle, preach. And when I was saying that my parents are around, but they're just not able. My father's in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And my mother, you know, her health is not that good. So it's also caring for them and making sure that they're okay, along with everything else in your life.
Right.
And of course, they're your parents, you love them, you'll do what it takes. But like you said, there's no playbook for any of this.
No.
You're learning as you go, and people can give you advice prior to it happening.
Yes.
But it's your personal journey.
It is.
And, you know, it's not easy. But you only hope that, one, you have a great support system around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a love around you, because that lifts you up. That keeps you going. And then the why. You have the why.
And it's so funny because there's mom shaming and then there's shaming. And some people try to do shaming in that capacity when you have to take care of someone who's not well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not part of the narrative.
No.
You see things on the out. They only see like 1 second of what's going on in your world.
Yep.
Whether it's a mommy that's walking by or an older lady walking the dog, they don't know the whole narrative that happened that day.
Nope. Not at all.
Yeah. And it just always blows me away, because even when we've done social media for other clients, we have to deal with complaints, and they, again, see a sliver of that night. They don't see what was the whole story prior to that. And if they would have just take a minute to find out, they would have realized that, oh, that totally makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shaming though, like oh my God, like stop shaming and start like celebrating.
Yeah.
Like celebrating the strength and the resilience of people. Like,
yeah.
Everybody that got through COVID, celebrate. Like,
yeah.
Because we did it. It was hard.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Everybody can honestly say it was hard.
Yeah.
But we were resilient, and we should celebrate that strength, because we're all strong. Underneath everything that's happening,
yeah,
we're all strong individuals.
I agree with that. And that illustrates that for your child. I mean, how you react to it, how you act,
yes,
at work, how you're doing it at home, what you do every day, the fact that you're going to work every day illustrates the value of work and why, mm-hmm, it matters and what the function of it is. And I'm including people that, you know, homeschool and do their kid stay at home. That's a whole other job. That's like so hard.
Totally.
And I respect that. I'm not leaving them out.
No, not at all.
Right. So, I mean, it's just the fact that they're seeing you take charge and being responsible shows them that's kind of the modeling for that.
Lead by example.
Exactly. Exactly. And what life lessons would you like to leave for your family, do you think, when you look back like 10 years from now? What do you think would you like, lifelong lesson?
Take the risks. Take the risks, because life in the grand scheme of things is way too short.
Mm-hmm.
And you will regret if you don't try. And that there is no success without failure. So take the risk. I'm going to go back on to keep your word because that is so, so important to me.
Yeah.
This was a comment that one of my old bosses, who I deeply respect, his name is Charles Gibb. He would always say, debate, decide, and do. And I love that. That stuck with me because a lot of people will just debate about things. Few people will ultimately decide, mm-hmm. and rarely will people do. So make sure you do all three and do them in that order. And you will find that you'll be successful in a lot of what you wind up doing simply because you did it. People don't even get to the execution piece.
I think they get caught up in the perfectionism part.
Exactly. Exactly. In deciding, oh, well, should it be, should it be, should it be, should it be? Let it be.
Right.
Start it and then evolve it, but start it, get it off the ground. And then I would say 80% of the battle is showing up. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that 80% of the battle is showing up, mm-hmm. and being prepared. I am always prepared for my meetings. Mm-hmm. I never walk in without an agenda. I know that may sound very, you know, elementary in certain ways, but like, it's so important. Mm-hmm. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Mm-hmm. It will not be a disservice to you. Mm-hmm. And again, literally showing up for the meetings. You'd be surprised at how many people don't. You'd also be surprised at how many people don't show up for interviews. Oh. Don't show up in general. Just show up.
Yeah.
That's the start. And do it. And the last one, be on time. I'm sorry, I'm a stickler for being on time because time is the most valuable currency we have.
Yeah.
And by honoring somebody and being on time, you're honoring them. True. You're respecting them. Be on time. I'm early. I'm that person that's early just to make sure I'm on time. But I'm probably a rare breed these days. That annoying Brielle is early. God.
I don't think that's a bad trait. I think that's a wonderful trait. I mean, I think that's all that's very valid. So then when you look back at your career, what kind of legacy would you like to leave?
I hope that I inspired women. Mm-hmm. I hope that I inspired women, and specifically in the wine and spirits, because it is a challenging industry, as I mentioned, for women, and they have every right to be at every level in the industry and to champion the fact that you can get there. You can do it. There are opportunities for you. And if you need the support, you have resources. I'm here. You know, there's so many other women that are available right now that want to help and lift up these women that are interested in pursuing those types of roles or just getting started. Mm-hmm. So I hope that I've inspired a couple women along the way.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything you've shared here. And I think you will have inspired many people along the way.
Thank you, Michelle. It was a pleasure.
If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please hit subscribe so you can get notified when new content comes out. Please share this with anyone who could be inspired by it, and feel free to post any questions so we can be inspired by new content. Thanks for listening. If you're interested in learning more, visit our website at bakercreative.co.